Welcome to the Small Business Whole Health Podcast. We help you stay happy, healthy, and whole so your small business can thrive and stay vital in this ever-changing world. With holistic coaches and small business owners, Jill and Dan.
Hello, and welcome to the Small Business Whole Health Podcast. I'm Jill, and I'm here, as always, with my co-hosting partner, Daniel.
Hello.
Hello. And this week we are talking about a hypothetical dinner party and who we would invite from history, or any, not even history, is it? Who we would invite.
Dead or alive.
Dead or alive. So I think I've thought too deeply about this, Dan.
Yeah, you're starting to panic a bit, aren't you? Because we've already told each other our three choices for a hypothetical dinner party, and yours are like the deepest of the deep from history. Am I a bit more lighthearted?
I think you're going to have a better dinner party than me.
Yeah, mine's going to be a bit more fun. You might create world peace or something like that, but I'll just have a good time.
Your side of the two. Are we all in this together, or is this just like separate?
So you're trying to steal mine now already, are you?
I'm trying to wheedle my way into your party.
That's the vibe I'm getting already.
Because your party seems really interesting. My party is too, but in a different way.
You'll need to sit and relax and meditate for about 2 days to get over your deep conversation at this party.
I think yours will be like much more fun. Right. Mine would be much deeper.
Right, come on then. So who's your first guest?
Okay. So my first guest to my party would be Marie Curie. She was born in Poland at a time when they weren't allowed to be Polish because it was controlled by Russia. So she was one of five children, I think it was. And her dad was a physics teacher, but he was banned from teaching physics because he also liked to speak Polish in Poland when they weren't allowed to speak Polish in Poland. So he was a bit of a rebel. And anyway, he kind of taught her a bit about physics. She ended up, she's made a pact with her sister that she would work while she paid, sent money to her sister to go to university. And then her sister would do the same for her. And she ended up, I'm going to give you her life story here. She ended up just struggling to get to university and ended up on a scholarship, which she paid back eventually. And she was the first woman to win a Nobel Prize, even though they wanted to give it to her husband and another doctor. But her husband insisted that she should be named as the person as well. And she was the first woman to receive a Nobel Prize and the first person to receive two Nobel Prizes. So one for physics and one for chemistry.
So obviously a lot of people know, like I know the name, but what is the legacy there? What's she known for now?
Yeah, so what happened was this other doctor who got the Nobel Prize for it discovered that certain things could take x-rays, and he took the first x-ray of a hand, and then she managed to identify two new elements, polonium and radium. And she was the first one to see the radioactive waves coming off stuff. And she was the one who called it radioactivity. Polonium was named after Poland, her place of birth. And radium was just the rays that she could see. So she identified two new elements that went on the periodic table. So she's pretty awesome. But you know what? And she was the first person to actually extract radium out of like a conglomerate of stone that was being mined. And so she's really interesting. You know what? When she took it out, she could see all these rays and stuff. And she was obsessed with, she was only working in a shed as well. Like that was all they could afford, this shed. And they were just picking it up with their hands. Can you imagine now?
Oh, yeah.
Like if she comes to the dinner party, we're not sitting next to her. We'll have to wear in a lead lined thing.
Well, face masks are mandatory these days anyway. So.
Well, this is true. Yeah. She fit in right away. So when you think about what they put themselves in to go next to radium nowadays, and all our fingertips were burnt off because of it. So anyway, she discovered radium, which then they knew would damage tissue. So she knew it could be used for medical purposes. And she was the first one to identify that x-rays could be used for medical purposes as well. So her treatment, her radium ended up being a cancer treatment, but also that's what radium went on to. When she accepted the Nobel Prize, she said, as with all things, because Nobel, he invented dynamite, didn't he? So she said, as with all things that can be used for good or bad, And that was what radium then went on to split the atom, and that was what created the atomic bomb in the end, wasn't it?
Right, so yeah.
It's got a bit of a legacy.
Yeah. Well, it's a good point that you said anything can be used for good or bad, can't it? That's an interesting topic, which could like be a whole conversation in itself. So we're in the exercise business, and one of the sayings we hear a lot is there's no such thing as a bad exercise, just a badly prescribed exercise. Yeah. So like you can take anything, can't you? Like a knife, you can chop your food, or you can chop your finger off. So it's just how you use it, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. So she was really interesting. Anyway, then the war came along. She had 1 gram of radium that she'd managed to extract, and she had to take it personally when Hitler was coming, because they were trying to look for it because they knew it could be used for evil purposes. So she personally put it in a lead-lined casket and took it to Bordeaux, where they set up the parliament to take it away.
Wow.
And she knew that x-rays could be used really well for the doctors on the front line. So she begged, stole and borrowed ambulances and made an x-ray machine and drove the ambulances herself to the front line so that they could x-ray shoulders, not shoulders, soldiers.
Soldiers.
Soldiers. So they could x-ray the soldiers on the front line, and she ended up saving loads of lives. And then she drove back to Bordeaux and got out. So she knew the rays would help, the radium would help soldiers to survive and to heal them. So she used to get glass vials with the radium rays, just put them in herself, the rays, and then travel back to give them to doctors, as they say, to hold them next to the patient so that it would take away all the like gangrenous stuff. So dead interesting. And from that's where cancer treatments come from.
The biggest thing I got away from what you said there is you only read about her for an hour this morning and you picked up all that.
I know loads of stuff. I'm like the expert now. I'm very curious.
You must be a fast reader.
Yeah. And her husband got knocked over by a horse and cart on the street.
Anything else?
Interesting. I've got loads of interesting facts. So she only had 1 gram of radium by the end of the war, right, that she managed to extract. The Americans then took her methods and extracted 50 grams. So she wrote to them and said, please, can I have some of your radium? And so she went over to America and they gave her another gram, and she had to go meet the president to get, and he awarded her another gram of radium.
Yeah. She lived a pretty full life, didn't she? Yeah. Oh, it's really interesting.
She's had a really good life, and she had 2 kids in amongst all of this. And yeah, her husband died, and you know, she's got a lot going on. And she was hit by a scandal as well because she had an affair with a married man, even though she was an unmarried mother, well, a widow at the time. So it's not unusual for widows to have to find someone else, but he was a married man, and the papers tracked her down and were following her all over, and it was quite scandalous. But then she set up the Marie Curie Institute in the name of her husband and said that would be his legacy. And it's still going now. It's still in Paris. And that's what the Marie Curie Fund does, researches cancer. But I think she would be quite an entertaining character to, not entertaining, but interesting.
Well, she'd have some stories to tell.
She was obsessed by physics and science and just forward. And you think like women in those days didn't, like when she went to go for the Nobel Prize, they had to fight to put her name on it because they were going to award it to her husband, who was basically her assistant, really.
Yeah.
And but he insisted that they put her name on it. And another fact that I've learned that I'm going to teach you today, out of 904 recipients of the Nobel Prize, only 54 of them are women. And for her to get them twice, 55 if you count Dr. Amy Farrah Fowler of
Big Bang Theory. Yeah. I'm giving you a bit of a quiz here, but there's so many Nobel Prizes have been rescinded as well, isn't it? Because the research is always, it's continues always, doesn't it? And now further research proves that what people won the prize for is actually wrong now, isn't it? So they've rescinded some as well, but I don't know how many it is, but there is quite a few.
My favourite one winner, and I don't know his name, but he's the guy's Australian doctor who was convinced that stomach ulcers weren't caused by stress. You know how that stress caused ulcers, and he knew it was a parasite or some kind of bacteria.
Yeah.
So he drank.
he did the experiment on himself, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah. And then he enlisted some other people to take this stuff and give themselves an ulcer, and then knew that it could be treated with antibiotics rather than de-stressing. Interesting, huh?
That's a very deep start. My three picks are like a bit more lighthearted. So
go on then, who's your first one?
So my first one is going to be Joe Rogan. Okay. So I don't think he's going to go down in history like Marie Curie.
But I don't know. He's got the biggest podcast.
Oh, yeah. So there is a big one. I tried to link it to, obviously, I'm very interested in him and his podcast. But he's got this world of information because he gets the most interesting people from such a wide variety of topics, from physics and health to entertainers, to comedy, to podcasts, to historians. So he just gets everyone. And he seems to, he's so curious. I think that's what I like about him. He's curious about everything. And it sparks like a curiosity in me as well. So I try to link my picks to business and health. So on a health side of it, he's probably one of the fittest people in the 50s. I think he's 52 now, but he's still strong as an ox. If you watch him do martial arts, very skilled. And he's very health conscious. He has quite a few health people on his podcast. And in terms of business, I think I've mentioned it on here before, he's just signed a £100 million deal, $100 million deal with Spotify. So if that doesn't scream good business, then
yeah,
I don't know what is.
Wasn't he a fighter?
He used to compete in martial arts when he was younger, but not to like a massively high level. But then he did some acting, and then he did stand-up comedy. And then this is a good bit about his business strategy, which I liked. When the UFC came along, which is the Ultimate Fighting Championship, they needed a commentator. They had one in the very early stages. And he was so skilled and so knowledgeable about martial arts, he said, I'll just commentate for free. And now he gets paid millions to do it now. But in the early stages, he just did it for free. So I like that because his ego didn't get in the way. Like he could have charged a fee at the start, but then they might not have wanted him. So he went out there, he proved himself by doing it for free. And then just because he enjoyed it, but then he proved himself and now he gets paid millions. And it's kind of the same with his podcast. He's never, ever advertised it, not once. And I think he gets 200 million downloads a month now. And he's never advertised it once. It's all organic. So it just goes to show that if you do something that you're interested in and you just work at it, I'm not saying you're going to be as big as 100 million deal on Spotify, but he didn't. He's had offers for people to buy it before and he's turned them down because he wants 100% his. So I like his philosophy behind that as well. And he's never deviated from that.
Therein lies a good business lesson, right? He'd be a good one. He might give us some good podcasting tips as well, wouldn't he?
Yeah, exactly. So I thought he'd be good because he'll have lots of good stories. He's obviously a stand-up comedian as well. So I thought it'd be really interesting.
He loves the UFOs as well, Dan, so you could do a complete conspiracy theory thing with him.
So a lot of the topics he has people on his podcast, I'm really interested in as well, so I could sit there for hours.
Yeah.
So yeah, he would be my first guest.
I think he'd get on with Marie Curie. Yeah. Might want to interview her.
It's two separate parties, I've told you. You're not stealing my guests.
I'm not coming to your party.
Oh, you're not stealing my guests.
All right, okay then.
Go on then, who's your second guest?
Yeah, well, my second guest is Jane Austen. Now, I think Jane Austen is like...
Party animal.
Yeah, party animal. She'd be doing those like 17th century dancing and stuff. She might be able to teach us a thing or two. But yeah, I'm a big fan of Jane Austen. I love Pride and Prejudice. It's one of my favourite books. Prejudice, you see, we're all built in prejudices when we're talking about so cognitive dissonance and social compliance. It's all those inbuilt prejudices that we have. And Jane Austen was like her books, if you actually read them, they're really funny and they're quite ironic. And she has some really good psychological observations about people that nobody was doing at the time. And there wasn't, and like the way that society works and how people work within the society is really insightful. And I think she would be quite funny actually to have at a dinner party. No books, this is an interesting fact for you that I found out, no books had her name on them during her life because it was really unheard of for a woman to publish novels at the time. So
what year, like what time period?
1700s, yeah. Regency time. So she actually met the Prince Regent because he really loved the novels, even though he didn't realise they were written by a woman, and he invited her to his library and kind of said, the next book you write will be dedicated to me. And she didn't really want to because she didn't really like him.
Might be a thick question, but who was the Prince Regent?
Who was the Prince Regent, right? Yeah. So he was the son of King George. Oh God, you put me on the spot here. One of the King Georges who went a bit mad. So basically, you know, Blackadder, you know, when they do the Regency and Hugh Laurie's The Prince Regent's a bit daft and...
I can't recall it.
Oh, Dan, you're so young. Anyway, he built the Brighton Pavilion. It was really extravagant, Prince Regent, and he was really well-renowned for having loads of women, but being a bit of a knob, to be fair.
So like someone you wouldn't invite to the party?
Yeah, you wouldn't invite him to the party. So anyway, so she went and met the Prince Regent, who was basically, his dad was going a bit mad. I think I'm right in my head. Somebody's going to say this is complete nonsense. Rhiannon will be listening. She's like complete history queen. So Rhiannon, I'm sorry if I'm messing all this up. So anyway, yeah, so she got invited and she didn't really want to dedicate the book to him, but she was kind of told that she had to. So I think Emma's dedicated to the Prince Regent, but under duress, because she was told in no uncertain terms that she had to. So she died when she was 41. So she wrote all those books, but died at the age of 41. I think that she would be a good guest to have because it would be dead interesting to talk to her. Just, and her and Mary would get along.
I don't know what I'd serve. Party, the party politics, inviting people who get along with each other.
I'm a bit worried about Mary now, though, because I think she might be a bit radioactive. So what's your next one?
My next one, and I chose this one because we've spoke about him recently on the podcast, and it is Derren Brown. So since we recorded our episode on The Push,
yes,
I've kind of got a little bit obsessed with him again. I just think he's so interesting. I find it fascinating when people are like at the top of the game. When you see him do some of his, I don't know what you would call them, illusions, tricks, manipulations, psychological warfare, I just think, say if you watch a footballer at the top of his game, you think, oh, well, I can see how he does that. It's practice. It's obviously talent and whatever, a singer or a dancer, you can see how they get there. But with him, I think, how the hell did he get that good? Because the mind is so complex and he makes it seem effortless. I know it's not. It's a lifetime of study and practice. But yeah, it just blows my mind how you think you're in control and he can make you do something. And you can do it in front of your very eyes. Without you knowing, it's a little bit scary, actually, isn't it?
Yeah, would you not be a bit scared that if he comes to a dinner party, he'd freak you out, like do something, hypnotise you and have you running around like doing something you don't want to do?
Well, I might start to rethink this choice now.
It might make you embarrass yourself in front of Joe.
Yeah.
Because that's what he does, doesn't he?
Well, I tend to like him for more of his bigger stunts. He doesn't tend to embarrass people. He has the ability to, but he doesn't. Yeah, just when we watched that, the push about social compliance, I just think for him to figure that out and then to put it into practice with such a visual demonstration, it goes to extremes like that, and to pull it off, I just think, yeah. So maybe if this was like 6 months down the line, I might not have chosen for the party, but it was just very current. So yeah. It'd still be very interesting to have, I think, to speak to.
I think he's actually, although he's really clever, he's really socially not good. I don't know if you've ever seen him in interviews and stuff.
No, he admits it. Yeah, I've seen him in some interviews and he says he's very much happy in his own company, like he's an introvert.
Yeah, he doesn't give eye contact to anybody. I don't know if you've ever seen him talking to people. He's like really introverted. So I think at a dinner party with Joe there, because Joe's quite a big character, I think. Yeah.
I think they might get on because Derren Brown's actually been on Joe Rogan's podcast, you see.
Right. So
see, party politics, I've put a bit of thought into this.
So Darren might enjoy my party a bit more because he's...
Stop trying to steal my guest. You're doing it again. All right, come on then. Who's your third guest?
Oh, gosh, for my third one. Well, I've had a right...
Third and final, we should say.
Third and final. Oh, I don't know. Like, I'm stuck between... So my guests have all been women so far, you'll have noticed. Yep. And I didn't know whether to stick with the girl theme and go for like kind of... What I really wanted was a wise woman, like an archetype.
I'm sure the previous two women you've chosen are pretty wise.
Yeah, but you know, someone who's like really knows the lore of the land and natural remedies and like a Navajo Indian or something like that, you know? But then I decided that you probably wouldn't let me have an archetype in my dinner party.
You just have to pick one. You're trying to stall and pick two. I know you are.
Yeah. So then I've moved on to Stephen Hawking randomly.
Right. Definitely wise.
Because I think he'd be dead interesting, and I think him and Mary would get on really well because of the physics whole thing.
Yeah. Have you seen the, what was the film that came out a few years ago?
Oh, about The Meaning of Something.
Yeah. Oh, God, what's good? But it's good though, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, people probably know when they hear it, but it is really good.
Yes, it is really good. Have you read his book, The Brief...
A Brief History of Time?
You shouldn't really know this.
The Brief History of Time. I tried to read it, yeah. I was about 18 and I bought it thinking I was going to skim through it and like be as clever as him. And I think I got about halfway through and I didn't understand any of it.
Yeah.
Like intuitively, I knew that it was quite intriguing, but yeah, it was just far too heavy for me. I should maybe revisit it, but
I think you probably get it now.
It's not a light read, is it?
No, definitely not. Even his, I read one of his kids' books. He's wrote a few kids' books with his daughter, I think. And I read one of them. It was really difficult to understand.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
But yeah, I think he'd just be interesting. With all the physical barriers that he's had to put up with as well, with his health and things, and you know, and he still managed to change the world of science.
Especially with the disease that in his early life he was fully healthy, wasn't he? Like it's
like in his 20s.
Yeah, it gets worse over time, doesn't it? So to, it must be terrible to have an affliction like that. I find it sad when people have their sight and then they go blind. So they know what sight is like and then they lose it. It must be terrible. But for people who are born blind, it mustn't be as bad.
Yeah.
But you find it weird how some people who are blind can have visions in their sleep when they dream?
Yeah.
Have you heard that before?
Mm.
That is the power of the brain. Should Darren Brown want to have something to know about that?
Yeah, I bet Darren could tell you about that. Have you heard of people who have who are deaf and then get the operation to make them hear again, like the cochlear implant, and then it's been too much for their brains to process because it's too much, all the noise that we just filter out, and like their brain has not been taught to filter out all the noise. So some people have had them removed after that.
Yeah, it's so complex, isn't it?
Yeah, really complex. So yeah, Stephen Hawking or Rowan Atkinson. I'm a massive fan of Rowan Atkinson. I love Blackadder. See, I've already got it. He could get on with Jane because he could show her his...
So you're booting Stephen Hawking out?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
For Rowan Atkinson.
On your way, mate.
And he's a local lad, isn't he, Rowan Atkinson? He's from just up the road.
Is he? Oh, I didn't know that.
He went to Durham School, yeah.
Did he?
He's from Snod's Edge, up Concert Way.
Just around the corner.
Yeah, just around the corner. So Stephen Hawking or Rowan Atkinson. Rowan Atkinson might bring a bit of comedy.
Yeah, he'll bring a bit of life to the party, I think, won't he?
Yeah. And like we can talk, like, you know, he'll understand our accent, my accent, because obviously you're not coming to my party.
He'll understand the crack.
Yeah, he'll look a good bit crack. So is this your final one now?
Yeah. So my final one is if you're not going with Stephen Hawking, mm-hmm. and you're with Rowan Atkinson, then I'm going with a comedian as well. So okay. I'm going to go with Billy Connolly.
Oh, I love Billy Connolly.
Just think, he's one of the best people to tell a story. And his outlook on life, again, like Joe Rogan, he's so curious. Like if you watch his shows where he travels the world, he's just interested in everything. He meets people and he's genuinely just interested in everything.
Yeah.
And he just seems so fun to be around. And obviously his stand-up comedy, like it goes down in history, doesn't it? And I like it. He just comes from a working class background. I think he was a shipbuilder, wasn't he, in Scotland, like in Glasgow?
Yeah.
And then, but he never seemed to lose that common touch with people either, did he? You see him when he goes around the world on these shows, he can just be in the middle of nowhere and he's perfectly as happy as when he's in like Hollywood doing films. And on a health theme as well, obviously he's diagnosed with Parkinson's now, isn't he, as well? Mm-hmm. But it hasn't kind of dampened his spirits. I know it's getting to the later stages now where he's getting pretty bad, but he still doesn't let it get on top of him, does he? He makes jokes about it and he tries to have he's got a good outlook, and that's what I really like about him as well.
Oh, I think he'd be good crack, Billy Connolly. Yeah. I'd let him in the party. Although I'm not in your party. Getting him not coming to your party.
I'm sure you're trying to do some type of subliminal messaging here. Get on the guest list.
I think your party sounds quite good. Although Billy Connolly might have... I think you've got some big characters there, like and Billy Connolly.
Mm. Well, see, if it starts to kick off and there's too many egos, Darren Brown will just hypnotise him bring him back down to earth.
Good. Darren sorted out.
Yeah. So I was thinking about inviting someone, because you know I'm interested in psychedelic drugs, even though I've never tried them. I'm intrigued. I thought it would be quite interesting if like Joe brought some like DMT or something. I'll just get wrecked. Just see what it's like. But I think we'll just stick to the fish and chips or something first and a beer.
Yeah. I know. What would you feed them?
Well, this is another thing, because I thought if I'm really thinking about this, I might get rid of Darren Brown and invite Gordon Ramsay or like Jamie Oliver, then they can cook.
I can't bear Gordon Ramsay.
No, I like him. Why not?
I think it's just too shouty for me.
Yeah, he is, but he's funny as well.
I prefer Jamie.
Ah, he's a bit bland. He's good in the kitchen, but he's not a party guest, man. What are you talking about?
What am I going to cook for mine, though?
We didn't think about this, did we?
We didn't think this one through.
Yeah, we'll just take away.
Curry. I love the curry.
Yeah. But no, yeah. I think we'd have two good parties. They're a little bit different. Yours would be a lot more deep, intellectual debates around the table.
I think they'd all get on, actually. Mari and Jane and Rowan.
But it's a good, like, really, we could have both picked bloody 50, couldn't we?
Oh, gosh, yeah. It's really hard, isn't it?
Yeah. So, listeners, it's an interesting little topic just to think. If you could only pick three from current or from history, who would you actually pick, and try and narrow it down to three?
And why?
Yeah, exactly. And if you get your list down to five or seven, like, who would you eliminate and why would you eliminate them as well?
And then let us know.
It lets you know what you're interested in as well. It's a little kind of diagnostic on yourself to see what you're really interested in.
I think they change as well. And they could change daily, couldn't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course.
Like, over time, they would change. Because, like, when we first started that, I was thinking, Jesus, the Dalai Lama, you know, like big characters like that.
Yeah.
But then that would be just too much aura going on in the room, wouldn't it?
Yeah. It would have been a bit more lighthearted.
Yeah. So, but you know what? It'd be interesting to like go back in history and ask like them what they thought of stuff that's happening now.
It'd be good to go back in history and ask them their predictions for 2020.
Hey, while I was looking up Stephen Hawking, he said that the biggest threat to humanity would be a virus or a...
asteroid.
Yeah.
Meteorite.
Like something hitting the Earth from outer space.
Aliens.
So there you go. Aliens. No, he never said... He actually did. He said the chances are that there are an alien life, but we wouldn't want to meet them. He said it didn't go well when the forefathers went to America. So it's never gone well when an advanced civilization meets an unadvanced civilization.
Yeah.
Bit doom. Maybe my party will end. I'd have to get plenty of beer in.
Bit doom and gloom. We went to two totally separate routes. Yeah, listeners, let us know who you would invite. Don't go down the same route as Jill and like this boring party ever.
I don't think it would be boring. It'd be good. But interesting. An intellectual evening with me, and you're in the other room. Have you seen that episode of Blackadder? It would be like that, where he's Puritan auntie and uncle who are going to leave him loads of money are in one room, and the bishops and his mates are in the other room having a party, and he's trying to go between the two. And he's getting increasingly drunker, and he keeps going into the Puritan side. That's what it would be like. Anyway, we done?
Yes. That's our party picks done. So, yeah, listeners, let us know who you would pick and why.
Definitely.
But, yeah, Jill, where can people find you?
Well, I am at organicpilates.co.uk and in my studio in Langley Park. I'm going to start reopening it. So, exciting.
You've been getting it revamped, haven't you?
Yeah.
I'll edit that bit out.
No, yeah, it's going to have a little bit of a revamp. I'm quite excited, actually.
Cool. And what about the podcast? Where can we find that?
Small Business Whole Health. We're on Podbean and on iTunes, on Spotify, and where else are we, Dan? Can't remember.
Alexa.
I haven't tried that yet. Have you tried it?
I don't have one. I've got the Google one.
All right. We're on Google as well. I think I've put us everywhere where we can be.
Yeah, but I'm considering getting rid of my little Google Home because, you know, I'm a big conspiracy theorist and I think these spy on us.
To you.
Yeah. Sometimes it just goes off randomly. I know, like, you can sometimes say something in a conversation and it thinks you've said Google, so it talks. But then other times there's nothing going on and it just lights up. And I think, I don't trust this.
Does it talk Russian, do you?
No. Yeah, it's going to be like a Dalek and just grow legs or something on wheels and come at us. No, I don't trust them. But I'm persevering for now. It's a good timer for when I'm in the kitchen.
You're going to live in a cave. Yeah. With your tin foil
hat. Yeah.
Yeah. And so where can our listeners find you, Dan?
But not in a cave. They can actually find me on Facebook.
In Coxwell. Cave.
So it's Daniel Purvis, Health and Fitness. And for the podcast, everywhere, World Domination.
Exactly. See, Joe Rogan didn't even advertise his.
It's all organic. That's promising, okay. Isn't it? It's promising because you can, sometimes if you chuck money at stuff, it takes away the
organicness.
Like the foundation of it, doesn't it? Yeah. If you try and grow too fast.
You've got to have your foundations.
Yeah. So, yeah. Cool. We'll end it there, right?
We're just rambling now.
Yeah, definitely just rambling. I'll edit all this out.
So thanks for listening, listeners. And we'll see you on the next one.
Yep. See you soon, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.